Turn with me to Psalms 100. The title of the lesson is The Spirit of Thanksgiving. The Spirit of Thanksgiving. Psalms 100, verse 3 declares, Know ye that the Lord, He is God. You know, when a person truly knows God personally, it's going to have an effect. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Whether your natural life or spiritual life, for anyone here that's saved, He is the one who gave us that life. We are His people. That's truly a wonderful thing to know. When that you know you are His people, and the sheep of His pasture are part of His flock, His eternal flock forever. This is what it will produce. Verse 3, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what will happen. That's a result of verse 3. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Verse 3 will produce that. And into His courts with praise. And you'll be thankful unto Him personally. And bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. This is not a lesson of discouragement. This is not a lesson of rebuke. But instead, it's a message of spiritual advancement. Spiritual advancement that is not satisfied with anything less. How is our spirit of thanksgiving? How is it? How's it been over the last year? How is our attitude of gratitude? I mean, last year when I did this message, when I filled in for pastor, I challenged everyone for us through the Lord to work on that spirit of thanksgiving. You know, the more thankful you are, the happier you'll be, and the closer to the Lord you'll be, the more thankful. The more thanksgiving works in your heart, the spirit of thanksgiving, the closer you'll be to the Lord, and the happier you will be. So, how is our attitude of gratitude? I really believe it's not a question if God can. Cause me to be more thankful. That's not hard for God to do that in the life of one of His people. It all comes down to desire. Do you really want to be more thankful? When I truly desire to be more thankful, that is asking the Lord to do whatever He has to in my life. Whatever He has to do to make sure that that happens more. All that is just truly trusting Him with your heart, your mind, and your soul. All you're doing is just letting everything go. You're just letting it go to Him. When this really happens, I believe God can and will cause an individual to be more thankful. Not just Sunday and Wednesday or this time of the year, but all throughout the year. Even in the midst of a wicked and crooked, sinful nation, the number of and the intensity of the innumerable evils that are around us, and they're only increasing. That would be hard to be thankful, but God can still cause that to happen in the lives of His people. I mean, they're getting sharper than a thorn's edge all the time, more and more sharper. Whether in the midst of a fiery furnace or even in the den of lions, you know, it's easier to be thankful when everything's going good. But, you know, more and more God is teaching me how to be thankful when things don't go good, when things don't go right. He keeps teaching me that more and more. But what about in the storm or in the trials or in the temptations? In 1621, the new settlers to this new land thanked God for the tremendous crops they had that year and had the first Thanksgiving. Then we come along, George Washington, in the first year of his inauguration as president, he also recognized a Thanksgiving Day. Then we come to the year 1863, President Lincoln, and he's the first one who made Thanksgiving a real, true, genuine holiday, a day of Thanksgiving for our country. Things have certainly changed here in America. Thanksgiving is not practiced very much. Why? Because it's not in the heart. It's not in the heart. You know, I had a district manager for Kroger's a few times offer me promotions. This person told me, Dennis, you need to look out for yourself. You know, the first thought that came to my mind was, that's what I did for 29 years before I was saved. And look what it got me at the bottom of the barrel. And America keeps sinking deeper and deeper at the bottom of that barrel. just keeps sinking deeper and deeper. America's families, or dysfunctional families and homes and marriages, businesses and the governments, from the president to the Congress and Senate, is overflowing with the spirit of narcissism. When the majority of Americans feel they are entitled, and that's all that produces is entitlement, they really feel that they're entitled. That will only produce a spirit of unthankfulness. That's all that will produce. It will never produce a spirit of thanksgiving. An attitude of gratitude is not a part of our nature. It's not something that we were born with, an attitude of gratitude. We came from a corruptible seed, a dishonorable seed, and a seed of weakness. Look at Adam and Eve. They had the perfect God, the perfect government, and the perfect kingdom. What did they do? They weren't thankful. They believed they deserved more and better. And that's what we inherited from them. This is a result of God leaving this nation to itself. We have to be taught to be thankful. Mankind does. You know, at the store we give out samples. I'm thankful there's a few parents that teach their children, what do you say? What do you say? But that just proves we have to be taught to be thankful. When I came forth from my mother's womb, I was overflowing with an attitude of ingratitude. I inherited that from Adam. So how did, or what caused, a spirit of thanksgiving to begin? And how does it continue in the life, from the mind and the heart, in the life of Dennis? What all changed that? The word thankfulness, is mentioned in the Bible 129 times. The word thanksgiving is mentioned 27 times. So I looked that word up. And it says, for the meanings of which, see grace. You know, until you really understand what grace is, you'll never be thankful. You'll never be thankful unless you understand what grace is. But something has to happen to a person before they can even understand what grace is. See, it's when we remember who we are and where we came from. That's when we'll understand what grace means. Until that happens first, a person's never going to understand what grace means. And only God can do this in the life of a person, which will produce thanksgiving from the heart. It will. But grace, its objective, is that which bestows, meaning you can't earn it, you don't work for it, you don't deserve it. It bestows or occasions pleasure, delight, or causes favorable regard. It bestows that upon an individual. And an individual doesn't do anything to earn that or deserve that. On the part of the bestower, so someone is bestowing this grace. It's the friendly disposition. It's a friendly disposition. It's something that they, in a friendly way, give to a person, this grace, from which the kindly act proceeds. Grace, especially with reference to divine favor or grace, grace expresses stress on its freeness. It expresses that. That is so important, on its freeness. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. Grace, its spontaneous character, or it's self-originated. It's self-originated, meaning you can't work for it. You can't earn it. Meaning God ain't going to do it for you. God's not going to give you that grace because you deserve it. It's voluntary. It's on his own voluntary basis. Acting by its own impulse. There is nothing that I can do to cause grace to come into my life. As in the case of God's redemptive mercy and the pleasure or joy he designs, that is, he plans, he schemes this out for the recipients. He's the one who chooses the ones that he's going to give his grace to. In John chapter 6, you turn me there. And in verse 37, This is something that Jesus says here. This is very hard saying. The people that he was speaking to, they couldn't understand it. He says in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He's saying there's a people that my Father gave me, and one day they're going to come to me. And him that cometh to me, he makes a very bold promise. I will in no wise, though they deserve oftentimes, but I will in no wise cast them out. In no wise. In verse 42, these people he's speaking to try to figure out Jesus. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. These people were trying to figure out Jesus. What was Jesus' answer to them? Verse 44, no man can come unto me. You know, as much as you try to know me and understand me, still no man will be able to come unto me. No man will be able to come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up. I will personally do it myself, raise him up at the last day. And in verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. One of the most important things that God taught me after I was saved was my total depravity. My total depravity. I love that doctrine right there. It's very important to learn about ourselves, who we are, where we came from, what we're capable of, and what we're incapable of. One of the most important things God has taught me after I was saved was my insignificance, the insignificance of man. And Job 7:17 declares, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest even set thine heart upon him? You know, you think of, I came from a horrible pit. Why in the world would God set his heart upon me? That's amazing, see, when you think of it that way, that it caused thanksgiving to come from your heart. Job 25, 4 through 6, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Verse 5, behold, even to the moon, that is the glory of God compared to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not even pure in God's sight compared to God. How much less is man? You know what God is saying here? That the moon and the stars are more pure than sinful man. That's amazing, but it's true. That is a worm. Psalm 8:4, what is man that thou art even mindful of him? You know, it's amazing to me that he came to me where I was and he rescued me. I'll never get over that. Because of that, thanksgiving will come from my heart. And the Son of Man that thou visitest him, our insignificance. You know, it's when we understand what we are and where we came from, and the more we think about that, from that will produce from the heart, the spirit of gratitude or thanksgiving. It just don't have to happen once a year, every Wednesday and Sunday. It can happen all throughout the year. Revelations 3:3, Jesus reminds the church at Sardis to remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Don't forget it. Paul told Timothy, continue thou in the things which you've learned, remembering, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, the things that the Lord did in your life. Go back and remember those things. My spiritual beginning, for 29 years, I lived a life without God. For 29 years, without God. That is, the awareness of God was not a part of my life. God was not a reality in my life. I have a neighbor who professes to be an atheist. I was amazed. He's told me that day that he's an atheist. An atheist is an individual who believes that there is no God. I've always heard and was taught in school, I was at Flushing, the first time I heard Darwin's theory. You know, I didn't pay much attention to that subject in high school. They believe in the Big Bang theory, that is, two asteroids collided together in space, and from that is how everything was created. And the process of evolution began, and we came from some amoeba or organism, and here we are today. Sounds pretty stupid, huh? I mean, I wasn't even saved, and I thought that was stupid. But it was no accident that day for me, and my neighbor to meet there in the parking lot. It was no accident for us there that day. God blessed me that day to share with him my testimony. I was blessed to tell him that day my testimony. I told him there's a lot of church-going people that I meet out there in the world. A lot of church-going people who's not any better off than you. You at least got the courage to stand up and say what you believe. But these people, they go to church, and they're not any better off than you. A person can go to church, I told him, all their life and still leave this life without being conscious or aware of God. I told him that's what my condition was for 29 years. I told him I believed in God. For 29 years, I grew up believing in God. But I was not conscious or aware of him. I told him I went to church. I went to a lot of different types of churches. While I was a kid, I was baptized numerous times. I'm sure I repeated a prayer and had some religious sects or creeds declare I was saved. That's what they told me. The end result, I was still without hope and without God in the world. 1994. When all was said and done, I wasn't any better off than my neighbor, the atheist. Wasn't any better off. I told him that all changed. Everything changed for me one day. In 1994, I said, see, only God can cause a person to be conscious of him. Only God can. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, religious man, a good man. But he told him, you have to be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't hear the kingdom of God. You won't have anything to do with God. You won't be conscious or aware of God. You won't have any fellowship with God. You must be born again. You must be born again first. Many so-called churches, religious sects or creeds try to perform this notable, miraculous act on their own without God. And it don't work. It doesn't work. Because a lot of them tried to do it to me for 29 years and it didn't work. See, you'll never forget when it happened to you. And then you can look back and see how all that stuff is just vanity. It's not going to work. God has to intervene on a person's behalf. In today's modern day Christendom, the majority of them teach that the God of the Bible has to wait for puny, insignificant, sinful, frail man before he can do anything or perform his will or his purpose. That's what most of them teach this stuff. God has to wait for puny, sinful man. If that were the case, I would still be without hope, without God in the world. That's a fact. That's a reality. But I'm glad he didn't have to wait for me. Every part of my life was a wreck, physically, mentally, and especially spiritually. But did you know that God wasn't even in my thoughts to the answers of any of my problems? I didn't even pay him any attention when I was at the end of my rope. I didn't even give him any thought as to the answer of my problems. But it's amazing. He still came to me, you know. Because of that, thanksgiving will come from that heart. Ephesians 2:1, Paul told the church, the Ephesian church, you hath he quickened who were dead. You were spiritually dead. When a person's quickened, the Lord's going to show them that you walk the course of this world just like everyone else. And you're a child of wrath as anyone else. And then God shows up. But God in mercy, he still divinely intervened in the life of Dennis. See, God has to show a person how sinful they are. How weak they are and frail they are. Or they'll never understand what grace really means. They'll never understand what it means. But God still divinely intervened in the life of Dennis, and that's what has changed everything and keeps changing everything. And because of that, I thank him. I keep thanking him. My favorite song is in the old songbook, "'Twas a Glad Day." I love the words to this song because this was me. This is what happened to me. I was lost in sin when Jesus found me. He found me. Home Baptist Church didn't caused me to find Jesus. Brother Don Titus didn't help me find Jesus. Pastor Dan Gordon didn't. My parents or grandparents didn't. Jesus came to me where I was and he found me. But he rescued me. All glory to his name. All glory to him. Though the cords of worldly pleasure bound me, yet he saved me from guilt and shame. It was a glad day when Jesus found me, when his strong arms were thrown around me, when my sins he buried in the deepest sea, and my soul he filled with joy and victory. It was a glad day, a day I'll never forget. Oh, hallelujah, it was a glad day he claimed his own. I will shout a glad hosanna and glory when I see him upon his throne. He did the work. How much of the time are we in the state of the awareness of the Lord himself? That is to be aware of him. You know, it's in the awareness of him that produces humility. Without humility, you're not going to be thankful. Sure. Which will remind us who we are. Every time I'm close to him, I'm reminded who I am. I take my place. I take my place very, very humbly. Which will remind us who we are. That is our insignificance. To be placed by the hand of God from the position of condemnation, that is to officially declare unfit for use, to the position of favor regard, what a change. That's a change you're not going to be able to forget. And the more you remember it, all the days of your life, the more thankful you will be. And the more thankful you will be. This wonderful transformation, the Exodus, is a picture of our salvation. The Lord declares in Exodus 2, 23 through 25 and 3, 6 through 9 that Israel was in bondage to Egypt. They were slaves to Egypt, just like we were to sin. Verse 15, the Lord makes it very clear to Moses that he is going to personally come himself and deliver Israel from the bondage of Egypt. That's what Jesus did for me. He personally came himself and did this. You know, Israel did not even lift one sword or one spear. They didn't do nothing. God came and delivered them himself. He did it himself. And that's what he still does today. He still does it to individuals today. You think of Egypt. I believe they were the mightiest nation on the face of the earth at that time. Even after the seventh plague, Pharaoh's servants come unto him and tell him, it's over. Egypt is destroyed already. But he still goes on, does it. Then in the eighth plague and the ninth plague, and then we come to chapter 11 in verse 1. The first time I read these verses, tears of joy came down my cheeks. This day shall be unto you for a memorial. And that's what the day that Jesus came to me was. It was for a memorial. I keep going back and remembering it all the time. Which will produce a spirit of thanksgiving. This is a picture of our salvation. In Colossians 2:15, Jesus, having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. Right in front of everyone. Triumphing over them in it. Is it possible to forget this miraculous transformation? How could a people forget this wonderful transformation? Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord leads them over the Jordan to the promised land. He tells them, you're going to have houses that you didn't build. You're going to have vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to be blessed in ways that you didn't do. I'm going to cause you to be blessed in ways that you didn't do for yourself. But when you sit down to eat, don't forget the Lord. When thou hast eaten and art full, don't forget the Lord. Thankful is the feeling or expression of gratitude. Gratitude is the quality of being grateful. It's an emotion of the heart. An excitement. An excited emotion from the heart by a favor received. Thankfulness. Grateful is the feeling or expressing gratitude. Gratitude or ingratitude. How can you tell whether you have the spirit of gratitude or ingratitude? You know, this is where we have to be honest with ourselves. And remember, this isn't a message of rebuke or getting down. This is a message of challenge, challenging you. Through the Lord, to become more grateful and more thankful. Because next year, if I fill in, you're probably going to hear this again. next year to be more thankful. We can always learn and grow being more thankful. This is where we have to be honest. There are 365 days a year. How much of that time are we truly thankful from the heart? How much of that time is spent with the spirit of gratitude? That all depends on how much of that time is spent in the awareness of Him. Learning how to fellowship with Him. If He can teach me, He can teach anyone how to fellowship with Him. You know, the more, if you're willing to learn to fellowship with Him, that means you'll be walking with Him more. And you know, the more you walk with Him and talk with Him, and I've learned this over the years, more and more. The more you walk with Him and you talk with Him, the more you'll learn to trust Him. You will. You'll learn to trust Him more. You'll learn to let go. Just let go of your heart, your mind, and your soul, and let Him do with it whatever He wants to. The more you walk with Him and talk with Him, the more stronger your knowledge and your understanding of His commitment to you will definitely grow also. You know, what He put up with and tolerated for me there on the cross is an amazing thing. But what He's put up and tolerated with me for 25 years is still amazing. Over and over, I've been willing to throw in the towel myself. But over again, over and over, He's proved He is committed to me. He is committed to me. The more stronger your relationship and your fellowship with Him grows, the more you'll see how committed He is to you, and you'll be ready for the storms out there in the world. You'll be ready because you know He's there by your side. Again, I believe it's not a question if God can teach us or cause us to learn. It's a matter of desire. Do we really want it? You ask the Lord for something like this, and He is going to, and I believe He's going to answer that prayer. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness." You hunger, and He's going to fill you up with that. And then that spirit of thanksgiving will grow. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, it took a miracle, so walk ye in Him. Walk ye in Him. Learn to have fellowship with Him. Learn to walk with Him. Learn to talk with Him. Ask Him to help you to learn this, and He'll teach you. Verse 7, you'll be rooted in Him and built up in Him. You'll become more established in the faith as you've been taught. And you know what you'll do? You'll abound therein with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will just flow from that. The more you grow, the more thankful you will be. The more we spiritually grow, the more natural thanksgiving will become. Real thanksgiving from the heart is a manifestation of real spiritual advancement and growth. There are other ways of expressing gratitude. I was talking with Brother Armstrong, and Brother Larry came up in the conversation. We were talking about him being our lead singer here. Brother Armstrong speaks up. Brother Larry was born in the basement. He comes up the steps, and he's been the song leader ever since. And I said, what a blessing he's been. There are other ways of expressing gratitude by praising Him. Come here ready to praise the Lord. Come here ready to praise the Lord. Psalms 9:11, sing praises to the Lord. Psalms 61:3, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Hebrews 13:15, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. Psalm 22:23, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. This is a way of expressing thanksgiving to the Lord. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify Him. That's what we're here to do, to praise Him and to glorify Him. You know what's going to happen when we leave this life? That's all we're going to do for eternity. Praise Him and glorify Him. Sounds good to me. All ye All ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify Him. Glorifying Him is another way of expressing thanksgiving to Him. By good works, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, the more we grow spiritually, that's another way of expressing thanksgiving to the Lord. You're saying, thank you, Lord. By fruit bearing, John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. 1 Peter 2:9, show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what we're here to do. By spiritual unity, and a lot of times we take this for granted, we have a wonderful unity here. We have been blessed by God. It's because He is the head of this body. That's why. There is a unity here. And I thank God for that all the time. You know, by spiritual unity, Romans 15:6, this is another way of expressing thanksgiving to the Lord. That you may with one mind, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By entire consecration. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. By saying no to sin is another way of saying thank you, Lord. By saying no to sin, Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12-14, by saying no to fornication, by saying no to adultery, by saying no to pride or arrogancy, by saying no to the evil way or the froward mouth. These are all ways of expressing thanksgiving to God. By saying no to your workplace, by saying no to your family, say no to whoever you have to, put the Lord first. These are ways of expressing thanksgiving to the Lord. Brother Larry.